All right. Can you guys remind me what we've been talking about over the last couple weeks? Gospel life. What's a gospel life? Living a life for the gospel. What else? What are we talking about when we say gospel life? What does that mean? Do you guys remember? It's good news. Gospel is good news. It's awesome news. What did you say? No, never mind. Okay. That was kind of funny. The Christian way? What is the Christian way? Christ-like? Yeah. Kinda, sure. Yeah. What about why are we even calling it the gospel life like this? What was the point? You guys remember? Where'd it come from? It's just something we kind of picked as a way we could remember something, but you guys remember what it was? Bumper stickers? Why? What did the bumper stickers mean when it was like swamp life, chomp life, everything else life? Yeah, I saw one with chomp life the other day. It was awesome. It was a Gators one. You ever heard of that? Salt life. Thank you. Why? Do you guys remember why? What do they mean? When I say salt life, what am I telling you? I'm driving down the road, you see my bumper sticker on the... I'm a fisherman! Like, if I went out saltwater fishing every single day, I'd be the happiest guy on the face of the planet. If I did nothing else but that. Like, it's my whole life. My life is wrapped up in fishing or chomping or whatever, I don't know, whatever the other things are. And so when we say gospel life, it's not just another trendy bumper sticker. It's just something that we use to remember what we're talking about. That as believers in Jesus Christ, we should be able to say even more powerfully, my whole life really is about the gospel. That remember, the gospel doesn't just change our life, it becomes our whole entire life. And as believers, that's how we want to live this thing. We don't want to do it halfway and just go to church and talk about it. We actually want to live our entire life for the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way there is to live this thing. And so as we're looking at the gospel life, we've been looking a little bit in Mark, and seeing how Jesus has started his ministry. He's done some awesome stuff. What's some stuff he's done so far? What have we seen? I feel like there's a different group every Wednesday night. What? You're all new people. What? Ty. Leprosy? Yeah, he healed this dude with leprosy. What else has he done that's made people go, whoa? Healed the blind guy? Healed the lame man? We haven't, but you guys are naming all awesome stuff that Jesus has done so far, or has done, period. So he's done some cool stuff. What about this demon stuff? He cast out a whole bunch of demons by this point, right? And so he's going around healing people, he's casting out demons, he's doing some incredible things, both physically and spiritually, that have left people going, what is going on with this guy? And it's completely rocked a whole lot of people. And so this brings us up to Mark chapter 2. You guys got your Bibles. We're in Mark chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to read to verse 12. We see Jesus here. He goes back home, and back to Capernaum. And we're going to pick up right there, verse 1. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic. What does that mean? What's a paralytic? Paralyzed or crippled guy. Carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And then when they had made an opening, they let the bed down on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And when Jesus saw their... I just said that. And now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' your sins are forgiven, or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed, and they glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Now, this story is incredible. I don't know if you guys have heard this 100,000 times like me, but as I studied it this week, I had the best time digging into some of the stuff that's in here for us when we're talking about a gospel life, because it is such a beautiful picture of what a gospel life actually means. And so let's just unpack this and start off in verse 1. First of all, we see Jesus, all right? It says, and when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. Well, the dude's going around healing people. He's casting out demons. The whole world's spreading the news. It says reported. Everybody's going, hey, this Jesus is awesome. Did you know he's home? After a couple days, that one little comment spread to, hey, Brandy, did you know Jesus is back at home? And Brandy's like, hey, all four of you, Jesus is home. And there's like, everybody, Jesus is home. And they're all like crowding around this house. People are going nuts because word spread like that, like wildfire, that this Jesus that had absolutely wowed everybody was back home. And they're all like, what, he's here? Kind of like if you told Matt Denyer that there was a Lecrae concert down the street, right? Word would get out and it would get out quick and you wouldn't be here right now. You'd be down there jumping to Lecrae, right? Because we'd be excited about it. That's kind of what's going on. Word is spreading. It's spreading like wildfire. Everybody knows where Jesus is. So the dude can't even rest at home. Like he's chilling. All of a sudden this crowd just like gathers all around his house. Look what happens in the next part of this verse. And many were gathered together. All these people want to see Jesus. It wasn't like, oh, maybe we should go hang out with Jesus a little bit tonight. I guess, yeah, maybe we should bring a friend with us because it's kind of the thing to do. You think we should go? Does that sound familiar? No, it was like, let's go! Come on, Clay, Jesus is here! And you grab your friends and you're like, they're literally crowding this house so much to the point where there's just massive like amounts of people all around this thing. Jesus is trying to chill and he can't because all these people are there. How sweet. Right? How sweet that with a simple word from people who are pretty excited to know Jesus, all of these people hear about it. And they don't just hear about it, they get pumped about it too. And they get so pumped that all of a sudden this massive amount of people shows up at Jesus' house because they want to see him. Sometimes, I mean, as I was reading this over and over this week, man, my heart sunk as I thought of that. Because I'm like, where's the excitement in me sometimes? Why am I not grabbing people, dragging them to this place so they can see Jesus? Why am I not that pumped about my Savior that I could at times maybe be ashamed of opening my mouth? What will they say about me? What will they think? I don't know if you guys can relate to that, but word spread here because they were just pumped about Christ. And so all these people gather around so much so, look at what happens. So that there was no more room. Like, people didn't even fit anymore. I just wonder if a few of us in this room, if we're not already, we're this pumped. We're this excited about our Savior, that our lives really were gospel lives, and the whole thing did wrap around Jesus, and everything else was pushed aside in light of Christ. There wouldn't be any room left in this building. There wouldn't be any room left on this campus. If every church in this community got this, their doors would be absolutely packed full of people. Because the people who say they believe in Christ like this are living gospel lives. And we're pumped, man. Like, I can't tell you better news. How awesome would it be if there was no room left in our churches in this community? We had to start building buildings all over the place because God's followers, Christ's people that Christ has died for, are so excited that he saved us that we're out telling everybody we know about it, and word is spreading and people from this entire community are pouring in to see Jesus. Holy cow, that'd be so awesome. I don't know, you guys aren't like pumped like me right now, but I'm pumped about that. That's excited. I'm excited because that's exciting. All right, I can't even talk anymore. I'm pumped. All right, then it says not even at the door. Like, you couldn't even like see through the door. If you're standing in the road, you couldn't even, it was so packed out. Have you ever been at a concert and like there's so many people in between you and the stage because you got crappy seats, you know what I'm saying? Or like even when it's like becomes the stand-up concert and you're just like, I just want to get up there, and you can't because there's like sea of people and like crazy lights. And have you ever tried to actually get through those people? Have you ever been that guy who's like, excuse me, pardon me, and people are like beating you down like, yeah, you can't get. But I've tried. I never get through. But that's probably a bigger skill than that. I don't know. But I know there's a lot of people around this house, and so many that they couldn't even like get through the door. It says not even in the doorway. You couldn't even like fit outside to like kind of peek in and hear what Jesus was saying. That's a lot of people. And then it says what Jesus was actually doing. I think it's awesome because Jesus wasn't inside this house being a good host for all these people that showed up. He wasn't serving like water and bread and cookies or whatever you eat, like fried okra. I don't know what you eat. Yeah. Little southern party going on. He wasn't sitting there with a ukulele or a guitar playing softly so people would be entertained, you know. He wasn't telling really funny stories so everybody like, that Jesus, he's a funny guy, you know. Like, there wasn't like, so he wasn't. Jesus wasn't trying to spoon feed people. He wasn't trying to entertain. He wasn't trying to do any of that. You know what Jesus was actually found doing? He was preaching the word. It says he was preaching the word to them. I feel like, what if, let's just imagine for a second, that all the cool stuff about our church disappeared. Let's say an asteroid hit us like it did Russia. Okay, poof. All our cool stuff's gone. We don't have foosball. We don't have, the basketball court blew up. You know, like, there's no more nine square. Sorry. Dodgeball's all popped. Termites got the pool tables. It's gone. It's all gone. There's no more lights. There are no more band. There was no, well, the band can be here, but not their instruments. You know? We love you, band. They didn't blow up. Sorry, Zach. Let's just say none of that stuff was here, okay? Let's say there's no air conditioning. Let's say there's no cool building to sit in. Let's say there's no chairs. We're just going to be uncomfortable, and we just kind of face that. But you know what? Will we still come? Is it enough that we're going to see Jesus? Is it enough that we're going to hear the words of Christ? I mean, these people came. They weren't comfortable. They were probably sweating hot. Big fat people standing next to them, sweating on them, you know, like stinky armpits. And like, I'm sure you've been in crowds. That happens in crowds. This wasn't probably a comfortable situation. Imagine you're standing next to me. I'm just like, okay. Now, put yourself in that situation and think, dude, what am I really here for? Like, seriously, would you still come? Would you come just to hear the word of God? Would you come just to hear, to see Jesus, to learn more about Jesus? And these people poured in for it. They weren't comfortable. They didn't have all that awesome stuff. And Jesus wasn't concerned with it one bit because he was preaching the word. You know what they needed the most? They needed to hear the best news they could ever hear. And it's that he was about to die for them, that they could be reunited with their Creator, that they weren't going to burn in hell forever. That's some stinking awesome news. I mean, just hearing that makes me want to jump up because guess what? I'm not going to hell. That's awesome. I don't know if you guys have realized that yet. You're not going to go to hell if you've believed in Jesus. That should put a smile on your face. That's good news, okay? That's awesome. Jesus is preaching that and people are coming going, what? I don't have to burn in hell. I get to see God face to face for eternity? Woo-hoo-hoo! Like, that's good news, guys. That's why they're coming. That's what he's preaching. That's what they're hearing from him. That was enough. Not all the other stuff. And sometimes I think about like just my experiences in churches, and I'm like, would I still go if they didn't have, and if this wasn't, or I had to put up with, you list it. Would I still go because I go for Christ? Man, I love it. He was only concerned with, you need to hear the one thing that really matters. You need to hear the gospel. That's a gospel life. Everything. That's why we do church, becomes gospel life. And so they're sitting at this door. Jesus is preaching to him, doing his thing. Go, Jesus. And then verse 3. And they came, bringing to him this paralyzed guy, carried by four men. What good friends. These are some awesome friends. You know why? Because they're like, my buddy Joe, that everybody knows, he's been paralyzed forever. Pretend you're a cripple, okay? You're going to like, and so he's just like, I don't mean that disrespectfully. It's just like, you can't. And so you're like, dude, Jesus is in town. He can heal you, bro. Bring me to Jesus. I can't go. What, I'm going to drag myself? I'm crippled. I can't get to Jesus. So these four guys are like, well, it's probably like way on the other side of town, but you know, we'll get this mat and lay on the mat. And then four guys, they all grab a corner and they truck across town with this guy carrying this heavy dude. They get there and they're like, what? Look at all the people. Have you ever gone to Chick-fil-A when it's like really busy and can't even get through the drive-thru? How many times you're like, forget that, go to McDonald's right next, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not waiting in line. This wasn't that, guys. This is like, holy cow, that's a lot of people. This guy's heavy. I'm about to drop the dude on the ground. This guy's heavy. He can't even walk. He can't. We'll go on the roof. We'll carry this heavy dude all the way up to the roof. What? Okay, so then they truck all the way up to the roof. Why are they going on a roof? Any ideas?
So they can lower him through.
Yeah, they can lower him through, but there's no hole up there right now. Oh. Let me let you in on the roofs of this time, okay, real quick. These roofs were pretty sweet. Even today, they're used a lot for a lot of the same reasons. They're flat, and they're made of mud. Okay, well, maybe not today, but they were at the time. They were made of mud. And what they would do on these roofs is they would have barbecues type thing. Maybe not barbecues, but they would go up there and entertain guests on the roof. It was a place to chill. Let's say you get a bunch of people that don't fit in your house, so guess what you do? Turn that into a spare bedroom. On the roof, they'd all go up and sleep on the roof. It was like another part of their house, and they would chill. This roof was also used for like religious ceremonies. Remember Bathsheba? She's up taking a bath. It wasn't just to take a bath. It was a religious ceremony she was doing up there. At night, in private, supposedly trying to do the right thing. It was used for that. There was also worship would take place up there. A few months ago when I was in Afghanistan with Fayez, we got a chance in Kabul, right in the middle of Afghanistan, to go up into this high roof. And as we're up there chilling, just kind of, this dude's like showing us all, you could pretty much see all of Kabul from up there. And as we're looking, all of a sudden, this crazy music, something like Tarzan, starts going over all these loudspeakers all over the place. And I don't mean that disrespectfully either. It was probably disrespectful. But anyway, that's what it sounded like to me. And it was Arabic, and they're singing this, and it was a call to prayer. And so what they're supposed to do when they hear that music is everybody comes out, and they put their carpet down, and they worship Mecca, and or toward Mecca. They worship Allah. And as we're standing there, this music comes out, and we're both like, whoa, what's going on? Some dude's singing in a shower over there. And they're like, no, this is what's going on. All these people pour out of their rooftops. So we could like look down and see thousands of people across the whole city. And you could tell really distinctly because most of the roofs were white and the women would wear these black like burqa things that covered the whole thing, looked like nuns kind of. And so they come out onto the roof and you can just see them pouring out onto the rooftops. And you're watching, they put down their carpets and then they all get down and they start doing their bow thing and they are worshiping and we're standing there going, all of these people right now are worshiping a false god. All of these people that just walked out onto the roofs are going to hell. It was a mind-blowing experience just standing there knowing every single one of those that just came out. It was a place of worship. We just stopped there and just prayed, God, don't let these people die and go to hell. There's so many of them. And so in this time, it was used for similar things. They would go out. And they would use it for worship, whether it was for God or for whatever they were doing, but it was a place of worship. So this roof was like a usable place, and these guys thought, well, we'll use it for something too. So they get up to this roof, and they're like, well, there's no way in. It's not like they have a skylight up there, you know, some like really. So let's make one. So they go down and they cut them out. Imagine Jesus is down there preaching, because that's what he was doing, and all of a sudden he's like, and so the kingdom of God is like a, what the, what is, and it was like dirt's coming down, mud, like, it's getting all over his face. He's like, what's going on? What is that? All of a sudden, you know, this big piece of like ceiling. He's like, what? It almost killed me. This big thing, a roof falls in, collapses. He's like, it's an asteroid. No, I'm sorry. I'm still going on the asteroid kick. Anyway, so it was a meteorite. Yeah. But I like to call it an asteroid. It's more intense. Okay, so this thing, and all of a sudden you look up and this bed with a dude like laying in it just starts like lowering down like aliens. Like, what's going on? Rawr! This bed comes down and it's like in the middle of his floor. He's like, what is happening right now? Well, Jesus knew what was happening, but everybody else was like, what's happening right now? And so this guy's laying there in the middle of his floor. These friends are awesome. Like, I don't know what else to tell you about that. They went through a whole lot just to get this guy to end up at Jesus' feet. Now listen, I don't know if you have crippled friends. I don't know if you have to carry him around. I think that we should be willing to serve people like that, definitely. Our hearts should be like, you're in need, I love you, I'm going to serve you. That should be part of loving people well. That's part of gospel life. But I think beyond that, there's a beautiful picture here for us too. How many people in our lives are far from Jesus and need to be brought to his feet? How many people in our lives need to get to Jesus and we need to be those friends who say, I don't care what it takes, I don't care what obstacles are in my way, I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to carry you closer to Jesus. I love you that much, I'm going to carry you to Jesus. These are some sick friends. And if we're really living a gospel life and we really love people, like we've been talking about Hoosier 5 over and over and over, that's what this means. Are you burdened for those people? Do you have people in your life that you love that much that you say, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what I have to give up. I want to see you get closer to Jesus. When was the last time you brought somebody to church? When was the last time you invited someone to your home and you just sat and read the Bible with them? When was the last time you prayed for somebody in your life? Like, are you intentionally doing that? Are you a friend like this? These friends are awesome. Like, the story tends to be about the guy in the bed. Man, for me, the story is so much about these guys, too. Like, They're a huge part of this. They're living a gospel life and don't even know it yet. And so they let him down in verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic. So he sees these guys, these awesome friends' faith. He looks down at this paralytic who obviously had the same faith because he's like, please bring me to Jesus. And this is what he says. Son, your sins are forgiven. What? But it's my legs. You know, like, I wonder what was going through his head. Like, wait, we came here because I needed to walk again. Why? I mean, I wonder what was going through his head. But Jesus looks at him and says, your sins are forgiven. Now, that's a big statement. That's a really big statement. Because look what happens next. Verse 6. Now, some of the scribes, there's always that guy in the room, right? Those Pharisees sitting around, questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, remember, this is all in their hearts. They're not actually saying this out loud yet. It says they were questioning in their hearts. And so then Jesus goes like, and immediately, in verse 8, immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they were questioned within themselves, he says to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? These guys are just like it's they're thinking it, you know? And you can probably maybe see it on their face. And Jesus just like calls them straight out. They're like, what? How'd you know I was, what? How do you, what? I know you're questioning me. I didn't say anything, Jesus. Like, what are you talking about? Like, so he calls them out. He can see it right in them. Whew. And look what he says to him. Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. All right. Do you bring your lunch or do you walk to school? Or do you walk to school? Yeah. It doesn't make sense, right? Does it? Like, those two things don't really. And Jesus is like, which one's easier? You know, like, I forgive your sins or, hey, rise up and walk. Do those two, it's almost like, do you bring your lunch or do you walk to school? Like, why does Jesus say that? It's almost a mind bender. What's he doing here? Here's the deal. He's looking at him, taking advantage to go, I can do both. It's not a comparison. I can do both of these things. Guess why I'm on earth? He actually tells him in a second. I didn't come to earth just to heal people. And I do have the power to do it. And guess what? I love you so much. And I care so much about your pain and your hurt. I want to heal you. And I'm gonna. And he does heal this guy, right? I am concerned with you and your real needs. I am. But I haven't just come for that because I want to give you something even bigger and even better. I don't want to stop there. He says, I want to forgive your sins too. What better, beautiful faith could you have than these guys here? Because they came saying, there's no one else who can do what we need. We need you, Jesus. And we'll bow right here at your feet so that you heal this guy because we know that you have the power to do it. Holy cow, like that's some awesome faith. Sounds like surrender to me. Remember we talked about like receiving the gospel is basically surrendering your heart to Jesus? That's exactly what these guys are doing. And so Jesus looks and he's like, look, not only am I going to heal you because that's what you came for, but your heart is a heart of faith and surrender to me. I'm going to forgive your sins too because you just got salvation. Wow. And you're sitting back there questioning in your heart, why is this guy doing this? So this is what he says to them. He butts straight up and goes, but that you may know. You don't have to guess anymore in your hearts. Ready? I want you to know this, that the Son of Man, pointing at himself, has authority on earth to forgive sins. He basically looks at him and goes, guess what? You're right. Only God can forgive sins. Guess who I am? Like, that's an awesome moment. You know, like, in Batman, he's like, I'm Batman. Like, that's this, but way better. Like, this is way better. He's like, I'm God. Whoa, it doesn't get bigger than that. That's incredible. Jesus, like, this is his unmasking. It's his unveiling. He's like, I claim the authority. Remember over the past couple weeks, Jesus has been, like, showing his authority on earth, not just as his prophet, not just as a man who heals, but as the Son of God. And at this moment, he declares with his own mouth his authority as the Son of Man to forgive sins. Guess what? That's what all of us need. That's what every person in this room needs. Whether you're saved or not, we still need it. We need his gospel. We need him to be the one that forgives our sins, that we place our trust in every single day. We need that. How awesome to hear him say, I'm the one. Like, I'm the one. You've seen the miracles. You've seen me cast out demons. How could you even question in your heart? Let me just tell you straight up so there's no more doubt. I am God. I love it. I love it. It's awesome. All right. I'm getting distracted. Where were we, guys? I lost my place. He got up and walked already. Did he walk?
No.
I didn't walk him yet.
He got up and walked.
He did get up and walk. Man, I love that part. Yeah, yeah. They said he was blaspheming, and then he tells them why. And then he says this. He looks down at the paralytic guy, and he goes, all right, turn him back to you. I say to you, all right, I did my spiel with them. I'm saying to you now, ready? Rise, pick up your bed, and go home. It's like, boom, that's it. Get up and walk. And so it says the dude immediately rose up and walked. He picked up his bed. He didn't like, here, take these two pills, call me in the morning, let me see if it helps you. It's like, you're done, get up, you're healed. There's like, Joe's walking. Did everybody just see Joe walk? Look at the reaction. I love this. Jesus heals him, he gets right up. He doesn't just heal the guy, he's had his sins forgiven as he's bowed down before Christ, and he's like, I really do need you. I can't get out of this without you, Jesus. And so the joy probably was more than just, I'm not crippled anymore. The joy was like, I just got new life. I just got new life. I'm going to live with God for eternity. This is incredible news. This is better than having my legs healed, guys. I'm going to jump on my legs now because this is awesome. And so he gets up and look at the people's response. He rose up and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all so that they were all amazed. They were amazed. They just saw the Son of God and they were amazed. When we look at Jesus, when we talk to Jesus, when we worship Jesus, are we amazed? Does it still amaze you? Does it still blow your mind to think of how amazing he is, what he's done for you, that he's the God of creation and he loves you? Does that still rock your world? I mean, these people were like, what just happened? I feel like we should also be like, what is happening? You're so awesome. Every time I look at you, it should blow my mind, Jesus, because you're that big. Guys, let's stop putting Jesus in this little box. Let's stop getting bored with Jesus. Let's stop being ashamed of Jesus in our conversations with our friends that aren't Christians. Let's go, holy cow, you're awesome. I want to be amazed by you. Break the box and be like, holy cow, Jesus, you're awesome. Like, I don't know how else to say it. I'm running out of words. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, answer me. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Do we really feel that way? Okay, good. Because we need to be that way if we're Christ followers living a gospel life. And so they were all amazed. And look, it didn't just stop at their amazement. Look what they do. Because they're so amazed by this God, it wasn't just all emotional. It was something amazing, literally, because it made them glorify God. That amazement turned into worship. True worship, gospel life worship that says, now my whole life's about this. And guess what they begin to do? Look at what they say. We never saw anything like this. Are you kidding me? He didn't just heal the guy. He forgave his sins. The dude's going around commanding demons everywhere. He's legit. This is really the Son of God. We've never seen anything like this. You think they went off at home just like, shh, don't tell anybody about this. Like, no. No, they were running out the door telling people, I can't believe I just saw this. You know, like, have you ever seen something really sweet? I know Matt Woodside was driving home one day. You're driving to one of our meetings from Dubai, and you took a picture of the sunset, right? Yeah. Was it sunset? It was something awesome in the sky. It was just really awesome, and you were amazed by it. So what did Matt do? Sends into the news. Guess what the news does? We're sitting there in this meeting, and boom, pops up. It says, Matt Woodside. And we're all like sitting around this TV like, what? That's Matt. And it wasn't Matt, but his name was on it. This awesome picture of the... Why? Because it was sweet, so he wanted everybody to know about it, right? You do something sweet in a sport. What do you do when you go home? Guess what I just did? I just kicked this dude in the face. It was awesome. Or whatever it was that you do. Hopefully not kicking people in the face. Like, you want people to know. Why are we not that excited when we talk about Jesus, guys? Why are we not that excited? Listen to me. Because this is important. We're done with this. We're ending. But I want you to hear this, guys. We need to look around us and go, I've never seen anything like Jesus. And I want everybody to know that. And I don't care what they say back, they need to hear it. Because I guarantee you, if you start living this gospel life and telling everybody you know with this excitement about who Jesus is, they're going to go, I want to know who that is. I want to go with you to church. I want to figure this out. I want to sit with you at your house and have you show me in the Bible. I just want to know who this Jesus is you keep talking about. You're like, I've never seen anything like him. Well, I want to know too. We won't be able to fit the people in any of these buildings. If you took all the churches in this community together, they wouldn't fit. But we have to get up and do that. We have to get up and be this amazed. We have to live gospel lives just like these guys lived. Just like our Jesus shows us to live. So will you just close your eyes for 1 second for me. And I know God's working in some of your hearts. You guys have, there are those of you who have come up and talked to me, you've told me God's working. You've been like, Rob, pray for me because he's working in this way in my heart. And I'm so proud of you, and I love you. And listen, I know God's doing lots of work all over this room. All different stages, all different levels, but God's working in every heart, including mine in this place. He always is. And so as you sit there tonight, I know there's no music playing or all that jazz. Just, who cares? We're talking about Jesus. There's nothing better than that anyway. I just want you to be honest with yourself right now. This guy with crippled legs was able to take a stand. He was able to stand up and walk. I just think it's fitting tonight for us to say, kind of like sit back and evaluate, am I ready tonight to take a stand? Am I ready to stand up? And so, I don't know, maybe your stand tonight, this is you. You're like, I've never really surrendered to Jesus. I still don't know him. I want to have a relationship with this Jesus. Will you please talk to one of our leaders tonight? They're going to be sitting out in back, or you could just come. I'll stay up here by the stage, walk up here, and just be like, Rob, tell me about Jesus. I'd love to. Maybe your stand tonight is that you've believed in Jesus, but you've kind of not been living it. And you need to stand up and turn your life back over to him. Be like, Jesus, I want to live for you. I want to take a stand for you. Maybe that's you tonight. Like, I want to be committed. Maybe your stand tonight is that you're living for Jesus, but you're just not, you haven't been bold and you're ready. Like, you want to be bold about it. You want to live like a wild man or a wild woman for Jesus. You want to tell people in your school. You want to start really stepping up for Christ and living this full gospel life we're talking about. Maybe that's your stand. You're right there. You're on the verge. You're like, Rob, pray. Please pray that I'm able just to be bold. Man, if that's you tonight, talk to one of us. Just let us pray with you for that. And finally, maybe God's been calling you specifically to be a missionary, be a pastor, to be involved in ministry full-time somehow, or just be a professional that just loves Christ and you want to live your whole life for him. And God's like specifically talking to you, calling you to that tonight. Come talk to us. Let us pray with you about it. Let's see how we can give you direction to help you grow in that. I don't know where you're at, but take a stand tonight. Learn a lesson from this story and take a stand. Don't wait. Just respond if the Holy Spirit's talking to you. And if you don't fit any of those categories, it's okay. Know that we love you and we're praying for you and you're welcome here. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we do love you so much. God, I've never seen anything like you. I'll never see anything like you again, but I hope I get to spend eternity seeing you. Father, I hope every student and leader in this room gets to experience that, to be face to face with you. Christ, we pray you forgive us of our sins, and if there are people in this room that don't have that yet, Lord, touch their hearts that they would surrender to you. Help us take stands, those of us who need to, Lord, step up and live this gospel life or respond to a call you're giving us. But God, help us to do that. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for your son. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.